All right, we want to praise the Lord on this Wednesday night. Good time to be in the house of God. I tell you, just watching some of the things going on in this country, I sure am glad I'm saved. I'm glad I got a home in heaven, because I don't believe what's down here is going to go too much further. I've never seen such calamities, confusion, and challenges, I guess, for the hour we're living in. Thank God for a good old King James Bible.
Yes.
Thank God for a good old church, amen, where you can come in, hear the Word of God, sing the songs of God. We are certainly thankful on this November the 2nd, Wednesday night service. This will be the last service that we'll be able to attend, I guess, in daylight. This coming Sunday's daylight savings time. And I know how most Baptists are. They'll miss that, come in early or come in late, one of the two. But this Sunday is daylight savings time. I thought they was going to do away with that, but they're hanging on to it. I know it's going to go a little further. Maybe next year do away with it. But this Sunday's daylight savings time. And we got a song here we want to try to sing. I tried to sing it last Sunday, and I'm not a singer. I couldn't get the tune, and on the way to church tonight, I thought about this song and still couldn't get the tune. And when I got off the Cumberland Parkway, the tune came to me, and so I'm going to try to sing this song tonight. Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone? It's number 221 in the Heavenly Highway Hymnal.
Oh, that's
wrong. It's a beautiful song. And a very personal song. It's personal because it pertains to you and me. And we'll try our best to sing it tonight. Number 221. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. Upon the crystal pavement down at Jesus' pierced feet, joyful I'll cast my golden crown and His dear name repeat. O precious cross, crown, oh resurrection day, ye angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. Boy, what a song, amen. Like I said, it's kind of personal there. Yeah, speaks to all of us.
I've never heard it before, but it's a beautiful song.
Beautiful song, amen. Like I said, I finally got the tune of it. I don't know where it come from, but I got it. We're going to have a word of prayer here in just a minute. But before I do, I want to read this letter from Brother Lee Watts. He was here two Sundays ago, and it's a blessing to have Brother Lee with us here.
Yeah.
And he put this letter out, God and Country Ministries, and he's a great man on the front line doing a great job. But Lee says, God is good all the time. The Lord has blessed us with a wonderful autumn so far and has been teaching me patience. He said, it's made me wonder why patience is a virtue. Why can't I just speed it up? I'm in a hurry. And he said, on the ministry front, the Lord has continued to reopen doors that had been shut during COVID. There have been opportunities to work with some of our legislators on a personal and a state level issue. Of course, the biggest issue state-wise right now is the pro-life amendment.
Yeah.
It will be the last item on the back of your ballot this November the 8th. It will look exactly like this. And he's got a copy over here, and it just says it's a real simple amendment. It just says, are you in favor of amending the Constitution of Kentucky by creating a new section of the Constitution to be numbered Section 26A to state as follows, to protect human life, nothing in this Constitution shall be construed to protect, to secure or protect a right to abortion. And I like this last part of it, or require the funding of abortion. I hope everybody listens to that last part.
Yeah.
Because you're going to end up paying for abortions, even if these people don't live in Kentucky, you're going to end up with a bill for it. And he says, unfortunately, several pro-life Kentuckians don't know this is up for a vote. I hope you will help spread the word to vote yes on Amendment 2, and I am going to vote yes on Amendment 2.
No on Amendment 1 and yes on 2.
Yeah. Come and gave a great presentation.
Yes, he did.
And he said they've already passed a bill that takes care of the reason for voting yes on Amendment 1. He said vote no on 1, yes on 2. Mm-hmm. Just like what Brother Ed said there. Mm-hmm. We can finally eliminate abortion in our state. There's a law in place for an exception when the life of the mother's in jeopardy, and then you can go ahead and get an abortion. It does have a clause in there for exceptions like that. He said, I've been getting a lot of calls about the other amendment on ballot number 1, and I've also been getting a lot of calls about saving on my car insurance. But that's another story. And by the way, I'd like to stop right in the middle of this and tell you, if you want to get in touch with your pastor, text me, don't call me. I get so many spam calls I can't even use my phone no more. But if you'll text me, I'll get your message. I've never seen that like. I'm sure heaven's going to be wonderful just to get out of this dilemma if somebody is texting me every 2 minutes. Amen. And I found one. I called them back. I called them all the way to church. It said, you have called this text message client or whatever. I'm going to call them all the way back home too. Try to be a headache like you are to me. But he says, as far as the Constitution Amendment 1 is concerned, I will be voting no on Amendment 1. It will allow the General Assembly to call itself back into session for any 12 days of the year. He said, I believe this is unwise for several reasons. The two biggest reasons are, there already is a law passed last year that forces the legislator to go into session if any governor declares an emergency longer than 30 days, and B, this power could be abused to pass laws at the last minute that we thought were defeated. I give a detailed explanation along with the historical and biblical principles for this decision on October the 28th, an episode of my YouTube channel. I just go to YouTube and search for the Patriot Point, look for this logo, and it says vote no on Amendment 1, yes on Amendment 2. He said a couple months ago, I mentioned Chrissy, that's his wife, was having some heart problems. Please keep this on your prayer list, as we still do not have the answer to what's going on with that. As for me, Brother Lee says, my doctor wants me to do physical therapy for a while to see if that will fix my shoulder before having surgery on it. He said, I told him that for years I've been hiding from exercise because I'm in the fitness protection program, but he said he didn't bite. That's Brother Lee. And the Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine.
That's right.
And I like Brother Lee. Mm-hmm. We want to pray tonight. We want to pray for Sister Joanne. Yeah. We want to pray for Sister Brenda. We want to pray for Brother Mark. We want to pray for Brother Lee Watts for his shoulder and for his wife, Chrissy, for her heart condition there. And I want to pray also for these elections. I've never felt so compelled to pray for an election outcome. Our country is in not just trouble, it's in the wrong kind of trouble.
Yes,
I just want you to know, all this trouble started 2 years ago. And it shouldn't have never been allowed, but now that it's got its foot in the door, we're in trouble. I'm borderline preaching this coming Sunday on troubled, and if I do, it'll be a difficult message. I'm pretty sure I may preach at this coming Sunday, but I'll give you a hint on what it's about. Our little children should be able to go to church. Be able to go to school and learn reading, writing, yes, and arithmetic.
Yes.
They shouldn't come home troubled about which bathroom to use. They shouldn't come home troubled about sexual identity or anything like that. They're little children. And they should be allowed to stay little children until they grow up.
Amen.
And if you want to get controversial with them, help yourself. But at least let them grow up. But we'll be praying over that. If the Lord leads, that's what we'll be preaching on this coming Sunday.
Amen.
Father, we come to you tonight thanking you, Lord, for... Lord, these two or three that are here tonight, Father, we've got four here tonight, and we praise God for that. Lord, thank you for this little church. Lord, thank you for visiting it like you do. Thank you, Lord, for using this little church, Lord, to get your word out. And Father, we pray this little church will always be a lamp, always be a light, always be a blessing, Father, for the neighborhood which it rests, Father. Help us to be a beacon, I pray. And I pray, Lord, Father, tonight for Sister Joanne. Lord, she's recovering from a fall, and I pray, God, you'd minister to her. Lord, minister to her hurt. Help her, Lord, to heal. Help her, Lord, she loves church, Lord. She'd love to be here tonight. And boy, I commend her for it, Lord. I thank God for Joanne. Bless her always. And Lord, I pray for those that are taking care of her, Lord. And Lord, we thank the Father that she has many, Lord, to come and take care of her. We pray tonight for Sister Brenda. Brother Ed said, Lord, she is down health-wise. We pray for Sister Brenda tonight. He said she sounded pretty rough on the phone. Bless Brenda. Help her to get well. Amen. Father, we pray for Brother Mark tonight, him and Sister Kane. Lord, we're thankful, Father, for the church sending food and money to that family in need. We just pray, God, this little church will be known for good works. I pray for Brother Mark, Lord, he'd heal up from the surgery. And I pray you help Sister Kay, Lord. Help her with her health, Lord. And Father God, I pray tonight, Lord, for Chrissy, Brother Lee Watts' wife. She's got some kind of issue with her heart. And I pray for him with regards to his shoulder. Lord, my pastor's in revival up in Indiana. And I pray you give them a good service up there tonight. Bless them up there tonight. Use him up there tonight. Lord, bless here tonight. Lord, help these elections, Father. Our country's on a rocky road, Lord. We shouldn't be in the dilemma we're in. I know your word says when the righteous read authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And I pray you'll help us, Lord, in this election coming up November the 8th. Lord, give your people wisdom. Help them, Lord, I pray, to be a diligent father to vote. Help them to have discernment, Lord, of where to put their vote. And Lord, may the outcome be to the praise and glory of God, I pray. I know your word says righteous exalt of the nation, but sin's a reproach to any people. And Lord, that includes America. Help this world. Help it to have eyes to see. Help it to have ears to hear and a heart to understand some of the things that are going on right now. We ask all this, Father, tonight in Jesus' name. And thank you for it. Your blessed will be done in it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We will be taking our teaching tonight from Job chapter number 28. We stopped at verse number 5. And Job here commenting about the earth in verse 5. He said, as for the earth, out of it cometh bread. I like bread. Amen.
Yeah.
Me and my wife the other day, she said, I'd kind of like to have something to eat. What are you thinking? I said, how about some grilled cheese sandwiches? She said, that sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. I made her two. Then I made me two. But we put that cheese on that bread, put some butter in that skeleton, brown them up. Now, I tell you what, that's pretty good. Amen.
Right.
But out of the earth, it says, as for the earth, out of it cometh bread. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he said, men ought not live by bread alone.
Amen.
Now, I like a little ham on there every now and then, a little cheese on there, some tuna fish, some chicken, all kind of stuff. But he's put more emphasis on the word of God. He said, men should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But out of the earth cometh bread, and under it, is turned up as it were fire. It's amazing, this earth. They say it's billions of years old. I say it's a little over 6,000 years old. Doesn't matter, either one. I'll tell you, a billion years from now, if the Lord wants to be somehow gracious enough to allow it to last that long, and I seriously doubt that, still the inside of this earth's on fire.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it's going to continue to be on fire. Then the Bible says hell's beneath, heaven's above, but under this earth, it says it is turned up as it were fire. The fire's not went out, is what I'm trying to say. You can forget about hell freezing over. There's a reason it's on fire down there. Jesus said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels in Matthew 25:41. And trust me, you don't want to go there. The fire's not went out. Mark chapter 9 says the fire's not quenched and the worm dieth not. There are people down there right now wishing they'd listened like we are tonight to the Word of God. Made preparation before that day came. And they got caught up unprepared and went to that place of the damned. Verse number 6. The stones of it are the place of sapphires. And it hath dust of gold. You know, it caused a lot of people want to dig. And a lot of people have been digging. They're digging up material right now to make these chips to go in these cars. They want to go electric. They can have all the electric they want. They're talking about the carbon footprint, Brother Ed. And plants give off carbon monoxide at nighttime.
Yeah.
They're saying dogs have got to go. The cows have got to go. I guess we'll have to go next. But listen, God designed every bit of this. We'll get into that in this lesson tonight. He designed it right. It doesn't need any help from man at all.
Right.
Man's supposed to enjoy what God made for him. Isaiah chapter 18 says God formed the earth and he formed it to be inhabited.
Yeah.
I said Isaiah 18. I mean Isaiah 45 verse 18. Says God formed the earth to be inhabited and the earth, he made it and he made it to be inhabited. I got gravity down here. I got air down here. I got water down here. I got food down here. I got place to grow crops, all that. God formed it to be inhabited.
Yes.
They go down to space, Brother Ed. They got to take oxygen with them. They got to take water with them and food with them. They got to have suits to protect them from the elements in outer space because that ozone, God made that so we could have not only air to breathe, but also the weather. The ozone, it's what causes the water to moisture and come down as rain and stuff.
Yeah.
But it says here, verse 7, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eye have not seen. I'm going to tell you, buddy, that path down to hell,
wow.
I believe it's in the Proverbs. It just came to my mind there. I did have some scriptures out of Proverbs. But talks about a woman here. Said her path is a path to hell.
Yeah.
Says her house is a way going. Wait a minute. Her house is a way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That's in Proverbs chapter 7. And it talks about a woman, how she's able to draw a man's attention away from things that are important. Talks about her lips and her eyes. And you know what? Her temptations. Says verse 26, she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. It says here, the path which no fowl knoweth, in which the vulture's eye have not seen. The lion's whips have not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. This is talking about God. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. You know, little children are precious. The Lord said, suffer little children to come to me and forbid them not. They're precious to him. And His eye seeth every precious thing. Right now they're aborting little babies and selling their body parts. And you know what? That's an unthinkable sin. I can't believe that someone's mind would go there. I can't believe that they would continue to do that, murdering little babies. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. Mm-hmm. You know, you can hide a lot of things. Achan thought he had his sin hid pretty good.
Yeah, he did.
But God brought it to light.
Yeah.
They drew lots, and Lot fell upon Achan. And they confronted him and said, "What have you done?" And he said, I hid in my tent a Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold and some piece of silver, and it caused him and all of his family to be stoned to death, be burnt.
Yeah.
And they put rocks on top of them. God causes the hidden things to bring forth to light. Best thing you can do with those hidden things is bring them to God and say, "God, I've sinned.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me."
Yeah.
The Bible said that He'll burnly pardon. He delights in forgiveness. And he that confesses his sin and forsake it shall be free. I'm just telling you, best thing you can do is don't have God dig it up. Come to Him and say, I need forgiveness. I need to be saved. I need to be pardoned for my mistakes. Don't hide them.
That's right.
Says verse 12, "But where shall wisdom be found?" This is where we're going to spend a little time here. Where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? You know, you think about wisdom. I went to school for 12 years. And I wished I'd paid more attention.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't. I was there only in body. My mind wasn't engaged. My ears weren't attentive. It went right over my head. I wished I'd have listened. I've been playing catch up all my life. But I ended up getting a job. They sent my job to Mexico. And I got to go to school again as an old man. I went to college for 2 years at the Western Kentucky University. And I did pay attention there in college, but they didn't really go in any depth in the teaching. But wisdom here, it says, "But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding?" You know, our schools today, kind of like that college experience for me, they didn't even try to teach you nothing.
No.
They told me all the answers in the back of the book.
Yeah.
And, you know, I made 100 on every single test.
That's right.
I mean, I made straight A's, deacon, got on the dean's list, all that nothing. But, you know, our children, they need to be taught. The Bible says to train up a child in the way it should go. When it's old, it will not depart. But that wisdom, some of that wisdom is handed down. I remember going down to my grandmother, Brother Ed, and with white hair on her head, I said, "Mama May, would you share some of your wisdom with me? I wish I took that little recorder with me down there. What I'm saying to you tonight, I would to God that you would not just be a hearer only. I wish you'd be a doer. Take your recorder and go to your grandmother, your great-grandmother, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, and get all the wisdom that you can get from them." I'm telling you, the wisdom today is going to the grave. We'll look a little bit real quick here about wisdom in Proverbs.
When I first got saved, I prayed for wisdom.
Yeah.
Knowledge. I wanted to know all I could know about God.
Amen, Brother Ed.
Yeah, and I asked Him to show me His love and His grace and His kindness. And I'll tell you what, boy, He put me in a little book of John. And
you're
talking about a sweet book.
Amen. The Lord, He's the source of all of our wisdom. And like I said, a lot of our grandparents, boy, they knew the Lord. They had a close walk with God. They could share a lot of things that no one else could give to you. They got it from God. They could pass it on. I just wasn't interested. I was too busy, too big a hurry.
Yeah.
Things that really were meaningless. But I chased after them. But in Proverbs chapter 1, I'm going to read the first 7 verses, Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give sublimity to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attend unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I was a fool most of my life. I got saved at the age of 34 years old. Now, I hate to say it, but right there is about where my wisdom started at the age of 34 years old. And since then, I've read my Bible through. I'm on my 19th time, and my wisdom's getting a little better. Let's go on down to verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. You know, wisdom, it's not like we can't have wisdom. It's that we don't want to listen. We don't want to take the time. Wisdom crieth out. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She cried in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying. And I'm going to read down to verse 23. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, fools hate knowledge? You see, that was me. It's kind of like, you know, wisdom was saying, let me help you. And I said, I don't need no help. Look in Proverbs chapter 2. We'll continue a little bit here in Proverbs. We're going to read 6 verses here. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not compared unto her. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. We'll come back to this, but I want to go back to the book of Job. We've got more to say about wisdom. But it says, but where shall wisdom be found? You know, I thank God for my Bible. Amen. I've acquired a lot of wisdom reading my Bible. And where is the place of understanding? Verse 13, man knoweth not the price thereof. You know, people give a lot of money for a lot of things. I bought Brother Ed a Bible for $24. And I mean a good Bible. Man knoweth not the price thereof. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Neither is it found in the land of the living. The deep saith, it is not in me. The sea saith, it's not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophrah, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. The exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. That's why I said I wanted to get back to that. It just mentioned here about how precious it is. And it talked about, you know, the price far above rubies there. And let's see, I was in Proverbs chapter 3, wasn't I? And that price God gives, the Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 11, that the Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. You know, we kind of take it for granted, but this wisdom God gives us, it's priceless.
Yeah.
And the Lord gives it to us. Verse 19, the topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? You know, God gives wisdom. He gave me the wisdom to know I was lost.
Yeah.
And He gave me the wisdom to know how to be saved.
Yes.
And you know what? I couldn't afford it. It was a gift of God. God gave it. In verse 21, seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept closed from the fowls of the air, destruction and death say, we've heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and He knoweth the place thereof, for He looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and He weigheth the waters by measure. When He made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, when He did see it and declare it, He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man He saith, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And depart from evil is understanding. You know, God gives man the ability to have wisdom.
Yeah.
And God gives man the ability to have understanding.
Right.
And wisdom comes from God. In Proverbs chapter 4, we want to read verse 5 through 11 here. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path, in right paths. You know, wisdom is something that everyone needs to get.
Yes.
And I want to read just a little bit more out of Proverbs chapter 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom. You know, the wisdom of this world, the Bible said, is foolishness with God. Mm-hmm. And He says, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear unto my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman, they drop as the honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of strangers, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. I'm just telling you, God offers us wisdom. We do well to give it heed, the most earnest heed. Hebrews said that we ought to give the most earnest heed to the Word of God, lest at any time we let it slip. I'm telling you, God gave us instructions. Mm-hmm. God gave us wisdom. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just compensation or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. I'm just telling you, God offers us wisdom. This is Job's eighth answer, and he's answering the false charges of Eliphaz, mentioned in Job 22. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "Oh, that I were as in months past." You know, sometimes we wish we could go back and redo some things.
Yeah,
and Job here, he's suffering physically.
Yeah.
He's suffering, mentally, the loss of all, including his 10 children.
Yeah.
"Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me, when His candle shined upon my head, and when by His light I walked through darkness." You know, the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod, Thy staff, they comfort me." I'm just telling you, Job here is reflecting upon days gone past. He said, "As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were about me." You know, I miss my two.
Of course you do.
I miss my two daughters. But the Bible tells me not to sorrow as others which have no hope. God's going to bring them with Him when He comes. And it's okay to sorrow. As a child of God, it's okay to sorrow. But the Bible says to sorrow not as others which have no hope. There's some people that they sorrow because they don't have any hope.
Right.
It says here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, "I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." I want you to understand, it doesn't say them which are dead.
No.
It says that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now this is a deep passage right here. A lot of people struggle with this. I have, even myself. But I'm glad God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. And He's the one I've committed all to. It says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I do, even so them also which sleep in Jesus." Please understand these terms right here.
Yeah.
"These also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord," and I am alive, and I am still remain until the coming of the Lord, I'm still looking for the Lord to show up,
right,
"shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead." Now there's a first mention of dead.
Yeah.
"And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words."
That's right.
And we can sorrow, but not as others which have no hope. Our sorrow is a short sorrow. We sorrow now, but we'll rejoice later.
Yes.
And he said, "When my children were about me." You know, in the end of this book, I'm not going to go ahead and jump ahead, but at the end of this book right here, I want you to listen to this. "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning.
Yes.
For he had 14,000 sheep, he had 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters." And
that's what he lost in the beginning, wasn't it?
I just want you to know that he had twice as much in the end as he had in the beginning.
Yep.
And the Lord blessed the latter end more than his beginning.
Yeah.
And even though he had 10 in heaven, he had 10 again down here. And it gives the name of them. Gemini. And the name of the second, Kizai. Name of the third, Carapuch, that's talking about his daughters here. And in all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their fathers gave them inheritance among their brethren. And after this Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. So Job died being old and full of days.
Yeah.
You know, Job here mentioned about his children. He said, when my children were about me, God gave him 10 more.
Yes.
When I washed my steps with butter, this is a sign of someone that's got wealth. When I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. Job was very wealthy, very well off. When I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, he was a person of dignity. He was, you know, well loved, well known, well regarded. He had mighty prestige. When the young men saw me, they hid themselves. And the aged arose and stood up. He had honor and respect. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand upon their mouth when Job showed up. They wanted to hear what he had to say. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, it blessed me. Well, wait a minute. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Job was very regarded, very highly esteemed. Job had had not only reputation, but he had honor and glory.
Mm-hmm.
It said, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Job went around doing good like Jesus. The Bible said about Jesus, he went about doing good. That's what Job did.
Yeah.
He said, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. And my judgment was as a robe and a diadem. My eye was eyes to the blind. Job helped those that couldn't help themselves. He said, I was feet to the lame. He carried the lame. He led the blind. He said, I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. You know, I'll probably stop on this verse right here. My grandfather, he was a great man of God. And he came up in my backyard one day, and I'm 18 years old, and Lucy, I ain't got no shirt on, and I'm there, and I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. I'm drinking a beer. My grandfather comes walking up through there. I seen him ways off coming up to me, and I put that beer behind my back, and he come up to me, and he witnessed to me. He said, horsefly, I'm praying for you. I'm praying you'll get saved. And I'm thinking, as my grandfather's witnessing to me, I'm sitting there thinking, Papa Ed, I'm 18. Maybe when I'm 81. I didn't understand the seriousness of the matter, nor the opportunity that was afforded me there in my backyard. And my grandfather said, horsefly, if you ever decide you want to get saved. And I looked, tears were dripping off his cheeks, Brother Ed. He said, you come down to my house any hour of the day, any day of the week. Sir, he said, I'll personally introduce you to Jesus. And I thought, well, anytime I want to,
I can be saved.
Yeah, I really didn't put no urgency upon it. You know, I just kind of shook it off. And he left weeping. And you know, Job here, he says, that with the cause which I knew not, I searched it out. My grandfather one time asked me about this young boy. His last name was Cox. I can't remember the young boy's name. May have been Lee Cox or something like that. But my grandfather asked me, Brother Ed, he said, find out if that little boy's got something to eat. He said, I'm worried about him. Because that little boy would always come through my grandfather's backyard on his way, you know, going to town or going to school. And they were very poor. The Cox family was very poor. These my neighbors. They live right across the street in front of me. But my grandfather, sir, he said, find out if that boy's got anything to eat, if you will. He said, I care about him. And that's what Job's saying here.
Yeah.
Job here, he's saying, The cause which I knew not, he said, I searched out. Joel wanted to find out. He said, I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, he said, I searched out. And Joel cared about people's what I'm trying to say. You know, we might turn our eye, but Joel didn't. Joel tried to find out if people had what they needed, find out if they had something to eat.
Yeah.
Find out, you know, if they needed something. Last Sunday, the church sent some provisions to a family that was without and sent some money to them. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to find out. We try to find that one in need. We try to find out, you know, when people are struggling. And you were just a little church. We can't do a whole lot. But I'll tell you one thing. I do want us to do what we can. And I was very proud of the actions of this little church. I was very proud of the offering they took up. I was very proud of the food and provision that they sent.
Yeah.
And I hope we're just like Joel, where we try to find out the cause. He said, the cause which I knew not, he said, I searched out. And we'll stop right there tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the admonishment from your word tonight, from the challenge, from the scriptures tonight. Lord, you come in this world. The Bible said you come to seek and save that which was lost.
Yes.
And Lord, you was the seeking Savior. You went to where the hurting were. You went to where the blind were. Lord, to where the hungry were. You fed them. And Lord, you healed them and you helped them. And Lord, help us to be like you, Lord. Help us to find that one that needs help. Help us to be the hands of help to those that need help. Lord, provide for us means, Lord. And Lord, we promise to be good stewards. We promise, Lord, Lord, to do our best to help all, Lord, that you'll lead us to help. We thank you and praise you for this little church. Lord, it's got everything that all the big churches need. And Lord, we know we're not going to stay a little long, but we're thankful, Father, that even in our little capacity, God, we're thankful, Father, for the good works of this little church. We want to do what we can while we can. And we'll praise you and thank you for all you allow us to do. And ask your blessings on our efforts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Has anybody got a comment or anything? I like this teaching. I'll be honest with you. I'm thinking about teaching on Sunday night instead of preaching. Amen. Me and Brother Ed here. I hate to preach this, Brother Ed. I will. He's done about heard everything I know. But, you know, I like teaching.